Macmillan Audio presents Axiom's End, written by Lindsay Ellis, read by Stephanie Willis and Abigail Thorne.
From redacted to redacted. Re more language samples. March 6, 2007, 7:31 p.m. Redacted. I understand your frustration having so little to work with. If we had any means of getting you more or a better sampling of their language, we would give it to you. But in 40 years of watching, waiting, and recording, that 97 seconds is all you have to work with. Sorry. Between you and me, I am plenty frustrated too. Redacted had given up any hope of communication or even an attempt at communication from our guests years ago, so that after 40 years of nothing, we get a minute and a half of blathering, only to be followed by more nothing. It's probably more frustrating than if we'd never gotten a sampling of their language at all. And no, I cannot answer any questions on their behavior because, for all intents and purposes, there is none. No language-related behavior to study, except for that 97 seconds. The only one of them they've gotten moving, Cheffo, responds to human engagement but doesn't give us language samples. The long and short is this. They cannot force the Fremda group to give up language samplings because they don't know how. If that changes, you'll be the first to know. I remind you that Redacted and every single expert and organization who's had anything to do with attempts to establish communication with the Fremda group has had less to work with than you do now. So, make do. This may be the most we ever get. Redacted. Ortega, Nils. Fremda Memo. The Broken Seal, August 24th, 2007. TheBrokenSeal.org.
Part 1. The Obelus Event. Torrance, California. September 20, 2007. NASDAQ 2,679.05. Dow Jones Industrial Average 13,242.85. 1. On the morning of the second meteor, Cora's 1989 Toyota Camry gave up the ghost for good. The car was a manual transmission with a stick shift its previous owner had wrapped in duct tape years ago. A time bomb, the color of expired baby food that should have gone off sooner than it did. At $800, she had paid more for it than it was worth, but back then she had been a freshman in college and desperate for a car. In the 2 years since, she'd grown accustomed to the ever-loudening squealing of the fan belt. But on this morning, after she put her key in the ignition and the engine turned, the squealing turned into a hostile screech. A disheartening thunk, thunk, thunk followed, then a snap, then an angry whirr, all before she could react. But by the time she turned off the ignition, it was clear that the car, her first and only car, was dead forever, and she was already late for work. As the Camry went into its final death throes, Demi, who was locking the front door on her way to work, froze mid-motion as she beheld the scene, wearing an expression of disappointment, but not surprise. Cora's feeling of horror that this was even happening quickly hopped to embarrassment before settling onto her old standby. Numbness. She got out of the car, with no choice but to leave it on the street despite it being street cleaning day, approached her mother, and asked, "Can you give me a ride to work?" Demi looked at her.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?